And now the game where we like to invite accomplished people on to answer questions about obscure things. It's called Not My Job. Billy Connolly has been touring the English-speaking world as a stand-up comic for 30 years. In fact, he's probably Britain's best-known and most beloved stand-up comedian. He's known to American audiences.
What's this probably nonsense?
Sorry.
Definitely the best.
He is without question.
Unequivocally.
A curse upon me for doubting it. He is known to American audiences primarily for his role as Billy McGregor in the sitcom Head of the Class, as well as his roles in the movies Mrs. Brown, A Series of Unfortunate Events, many others. He joins us now from Great Britain. Billy Connolly, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thank you very, very much.
So we caught you just too late because we've understood that you lived here in America for a long time, ever since doing...
I lived in America for 15 years.
Yeah.
And then I discovered that most of my work was coming via Europe, so I left again. And my wife spent a lot of money buying a huge big yacht, so we had to sell the American house.
Really?
My wife's a shrink and she sails upon the sea writing books and all that. She's a windswept and interesting person.
And as they say, the ship was leaving and you had to get on it.
Yeah, and I don't like it all that much. You know, I tried it a little bit, but I'm not a sailor, you know. So she sails around. She told me this morning, she's getting close to Bali.
Close to?
In Indonesia.
Really? So she's just sailing on, off around there, and you're doing your own thing wherever you are.
Yeah, we meet now and again. She's going to join me in New York for some time.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, it's great fun. I must say, it's a lovely way to live. You know, she goes off and does the pirate thing, and I go to work and pay for it.
Somebody's got a great deal there.
I was about to say.
Yes.
We're
a team.
Are these meetings that you have, are they intended, or are they just accidental when one of you sort of slipped up?
Oh, no, it's all intentional.
Okay, that's good. But do you miss anything, not living in America anymore?
I miss pizza, I think. I miss bagels and pizza.
Bagels and pizza. They're just not.
And I miss people serving me with a smile. You know, the service industry here isn't quite the same as in America. It's all very grumpy.
Really?
There really isn't one, in fact.
Well, there isn't one. But the people who pretend that there is one are very grumpy about it.
I think
it's very difficult to get used to. You know, when I first went to America, I discovered you could fax for a pizza. I thought I was on the moon, living in the future or something.
I wanted to ask you, you have been, like, absolutely Britain's most beloved stand-up comic. No comparison to anyone else.
Without question. Oh.
You bestride Britain's stand-up comedy scene like a colossus, sir.
Like a colossus.
Exactly.
The other
right.
comics are just looking up at you bestriding it.
Without question.
So you've been touring around Britain and the English
people. I bestride Britain like a colostomy.
Exactly. Now, my question is, you haven't toured your comic act, which is now 30 years on the road. You've been doing it and evolving it, but you haven't really toured it around America, and I was wondering why not.
I have. I've done various things and concerts around America, but I have a very strong fan base who come and see me, and nobody else in town knows I've been there. So, you know, I would leave the town, and I was the best-kept secret in town, so I've decided to come and stick around for a while and do sort of weeks of concerts. And get the Americans to see what I do. Because a lot of them think I'm an actor and I'm actually a comedian.
Wow.
You know, it's kind of weird. Because I'm very famous where I come from and all that, in Australia and all these other places. So it's time to sort of wave the flag a bit in America.
It's time to bestride America, isn't it?
Yes, thank you.
I would start out north to south. Yes, I think it's a little easier.
It's easier on the hamstring.
Well, also, you won't get your feet wet.
Right.
Yeah, oh, love it. And I'm looking forward to this. It's really good. I used to open for rock bands and all that in the 70s, and I hated it. But it's, you know, the last time I was in Chicago, I was opening for Manhattan Transfer or something.
Wow, that was a while ago then.
Yeah, well, I've been back since on my own, but in those days I used to open for all those strange people, Elvis Costello and Elton John and all that.
Isn't it kind of odd having a comedian opening for a rock act? I've never seen that.
That's what they used to do before comedy clubs.
Right, because where else would you go and perform?
Yeah, and people would practice throwing frisbees at you and all that. See, I'm a kind of weird one because I've never done a comedy club in my life. Because when I was coming through, there wasn't such a thing. So I did all those rock shows and my own stuff and then got bigger and bigger. And so here I am. It's kind of weird.
Right. About your act, one of the things that's unusual about your act as a comedian is you do something most comics don't do, which is you tell jokes.
No, I don't.
Oh, sorry.
How dare you?
Really? No, because I'm so sorry. Wait a minute. Let me check my notes. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm
no, I juggle.
Oh.
And bestride.
You juggle and bestride.
I bestride and I strip. No, I don't really. I tell long, long, boring stories.
Well, no, I was watching one of your DVDs of a collection of your best live performances, and you actually say, two guys walk into a bar, you've told stories like that, which I think
really?
Is...
Really?
Yeah,
I don't
really.
Remember that.
It was good. And I would tell you one of the jokes you told. It was very funny, but it was very scatological and dirty, and this is NPR, and I can't...
Yeah, my stuff is kind of wild. I've always had a problem broadcasting. That's held me back a little, you know?
Really? Well, Billy...
I'm a motorcyclist. I don't care about radios much anyway.
Yeah, you can't hear him in the motorcycle. Hey.
Yeah, nope. Although I do have a 5-CD changer.
Oh, there you go.
All right, that's okay then. Billy Connolly, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
I really don't know why you can't just forgive me so we can move on.
A great...
Yes.
Yes, exactly. A great and useful book came across our desks recently. It's called My Bad, 25 Years of Public Apologies by Paul Slansky and Arlene Sorkin.
They've been apologizing.
No, I was about to say
long?
They're not apologizing. They wrote the book.
Oh.
I should have made that clear. So we're going to use that book. We're going to ask you three questions about major gaffes and the attempts to smooth things over. Get two questions right, you'll win Carl's voice on the home answering machine of one of our listeners. Carl, who is comedian Billy Connolly playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Eric Derlin of Silver Spring, Maryland.
All right. Now, just for the sake of added drama and pathos, we're going to have Carl do all the apologies. All right? Here's your first apology.
I deeply regret that I did not correct the statement before this time. I truly ask your forgiveness.
Now, that was a man named Robert Stevenson. He was a Connecticut state representative, apologizing for falsely claiming that he had fought in Vietnam. Now, he offered that apology only after the public had rejected his first attempt at addressing that little error, which was what? A, he said he got confused between reality and an acid trip he took in 1969. B, he said it was such a national trauma that all Americans, in some sense, fought in Vietnam. Or C, he said that he and his college roomies used to call their pad Vietnam.
A.
You're going to go for A. He said there's like, oh, I had this acid trip and I was like in the jungle and...
Oh, definitely.
You think so? No, I'm afraid...
Without question.
No, he said it was B, quote, we were all a part of that war. There was a part of all of us there. So in a sense, I was there.
Yeah, I was lucky to get out of the rice paddies of Milwaukee when I did.
What a rascal.
All right, Billy, you have two more chances here, so not to worry. Your next apology comes to us from former Governor Frank Keating of Oklahoma.
While my comment was made in jest, it may be misunderstood by those who are not in attendance. I apologize to anyone who may have been offended.
Now, Governor Keating was apologizing for his suggestion of the best way to deal with that state's teachers' union. Was it A, quote, close the schools and let those greed heads work at McDonald's if they can figure out how? B, quote, promise them anything. If they had any brains, they'd have real jobs. Or C, quote, homicide.
A.
You're going to go for A. Close the schools and let the greedheads work at McDonald's if they can figure out how.
Yeah.
I'm afraid the answer was C, homicide. Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah. He had to apologize. All right, now you can get this last one right. I think you will, in fact, because it took place in Great Britain. Here is your last mea culpa.
Charlie Brooker apologizes for any offense caused by his comments relating to President Bush in his TV column.
Okay. That was just the first part of a long apology printed by the Guardian newspaper in Britain. It had to do with a column that their TV writer, Charlie Brooker, wrote about President Bush. What did he say? A. I'd compare him to a monkey, but I know some monkeys, and I want to keep on good terms with them. Was it B, he raises only one question in the minds of any patriotic Englishman, why, oh why, can't the Atlantic be wider? Or C, he is a lying, sniggering, drink-driving, selfish, reckless, ignorant, dangerous, backward, drooling, twitching, blinking, mouse-faced little cheat. Unquote.
C.
Yes! He also said in the same...
I think he's being taken out of context. Yeah. If you knew the context, there's actually...
There were 60 complimentary adjectives in there somewhere.
Absolutely.
But I would love to hear the apology.
Well, it was lengthy. We'd have to take the rest of the... Well, the problem wasn't so much that.
Apologize for everything except mouse-faced.
He also... Yes. He also said in the same column, quote, John Wilkes Booth, Lee Harvey Oswald, where are you now that we need you?
Uh-oh.
And... I got to tell you, that's what really got him in trouble.
Yeah. I thought I hadn't seen his byline around much recently.
Carl, how did Billy Connolly do in our quiz?
Well, Billy needed at least two correct answers to win for Eric Derlin, Peter, but he had just one correct answer.
Oh, Billy, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're still a bestriding kind of guy, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry about that poor guy. Doesn't he get the funny voice on his answer machine now?
Well, if you would like to do
what
it,
a shame. I mean, would he settle for a 5-CD changer?
You can probably spare it. Billy Connolly is a comedian and actor. You've seen him in movies like Mrs. Brown, The Aristocrats, many others. He has a new DVD, Billy Connolly Live in New York, comes out next month, and his one-man show, Billy Connolly Live, opens on May 9th at the 37 Arts Theater in New York City. Billy Connolly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
Are you sorry now? Who's sorry?